CEO of Boeing, Calhoun, has called for a critical safety meeting scheduled for January 9th at the company's Renton, Washington factory, stressing the need for transparency and collaboration with customers and regulators and understanding what happened. Do you have faith in this, Ed Pearson?
Well, look, he should be in the factory a heck of a lot more than he is now. He barely comes to the factory. He acts like he is on the factory floor all the time. That's not accurate. He needs to get out of his corporate headquarters and go out and meet with
the
people that are
building
these planes.
We have to leave it there, but we will continue to follow this case. Ed Pearson with the Foundation for Aviation Safety and Nadja Milleron, aviation safety advocate, lost her daughter in a MAX plane. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune in to KBOO on Monday, January 15th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. for a special live remote broadcast of Keep Alive the Dream. Keep Alive the Dream is an annual celebration of the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This year's event includes guest speakers and musical performances from the MLK All-Star Band, Eli Hardy, and more. Again, there's a special live broadcast of Keep Alive the Dream this upcoming January 15th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Tune in every second and fourth Saturday night, midnight to 3 a.m. Sounds unsound. Sounds unsound. Sounds unsound. Only on KBOO.
Are you sure?
Sounds unsound.
KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.FM. I am Cecil Prescott. I will be one of your hosts this morning. And today we are broadcasting live on the 8th of January 2024. And welcome to all of you who are listening and who are part of this community. This is our first broadcast in the new year, so I hope 1 week in, the year is going well with you. It's an interesting time, is it not? And always the transition from 1 year to another year is an opportunity for people to do some reflection, some looking back, some looking forward, some planning, some hopes and some anticipation. And who knows what this year will bring for you, what it will bring for us. But before we begin the year, when you get out, maybe even before you go out, but especially when you go out, look up and see if there's anything falling from the sky. For those of you who are in the Portland area, as you might have heard just now on Democracy Now! Report on a mishap with Boeing aircraft and this weekend in the Portland area. So, yeah, things started falling out of the plane. A door, I think they found
out in the teacher's property.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I heard they found two phones. So I guess it's...
Somebody didn't put their phone away.
Oh, sad.
Turn your phones off, please. Somebody said, I'm not through playing my game, or, you know, words with friends, or I got to get my last tweet. You know, when you said don't look up, I was trying to stifle a big guffaw because it made me think of that movie that came out right about the same time as the actual asteroid was passing the planet and people were panicking. And how that was an interesting political, it provided an interesting political strategy and maneuver. You know, the then president, played by Meryl Streep, was telling people, don't look up, they're trying to control you, because, you know, she knew she had lied. And, you know, and that was an interesting threat for people, because folks really got brainwashed into that whole situation, not unlike a lot of things going on presently in our political climate. And you had people at extreme polar ends. You should look up. You're being hoodwinked. You shouldn't look up. They can't tell you what to do. And you look at that and you saw how a statement like that to CYA was a major detriment to our society as we know it, and even to the political stability of the time. Yes. So here's the pivot.
I'm here for the ride. Okay, let's pivot.
So, you know, you have people being extremely polarized. Indeed. and not finding any middle ground, and that becomes a threat to conversation, as we say often on this show, which is a threat to society, and it provides a plethora of threats to our governance system. And so for those of you who have been following the January 6th insurrection, you know, one of the characterizations being put out there is that it's a threat to our government structure, our governmental structure. And they've indicated that Trump is a threat to our governmental structure. The insurrectionists and the attitudes that they had, you know, of tearing down the government is a threat to our structure. And then I have to wonder, are there any other threats out there to our governmental structure? Because you're hearing Trump say, well, I didn't sign any loyalty oath to uphold the Constitution. Yet this person wants to govern this country, you know?
Yes.
And when we look at how much energy and polarization is churning in this dynamic of who is going to rule, who is going to govern our nation, you know, it's not just simply a threat from Trump and his minions. It's also possibly a threat from the media, and it is most definitely a threat possibly through our judicial system.
But let me ask ask you and also our listeners. So as you have said, there is an argument being made that the election of Mr. Trump is, quote, a threat to democracy. And certainly that, holding that aside, what are other, two things. One is, how do we define democracy? And secondly, are there threats to democracy other than the re-election of Mr. Trump? Are there things such as we heard in terms of the freedom of the press? Is that a threat to democracy? How do we define democracy, and how do we respond to or defend it? That might be a question. So in this next year, you hear a lot of discussion about on Republicans and Democratic side accusing the others as being a threat to democracy. So I want us to unpack that phrase. What does it mean to be a threat to democracy? And what is democracy? And what are things that we hold up, lift up, and hold on to, especially as we enter into, in the United States, into this political electoral season?
Well, I do have something I want to clarify. But first, let me say, you are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, 104.3 in the Willamette River Valley, and KBOO.FM on the web, the World Wide Web, More Talk Radio. So I'm here with Cecil. I'm Celeste. Okay. Now, I purposely did not say threat to democracy. I said threat to our governance system. Because you remember when we had a conversation, you said, well, there are going to be people who say, we don't live in a democratic society anyway. This is not a democratic nation anyway. And I remember sighing and saying, yeah, okay, a democratic republic with representative, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you bring up an interesting point. I don't know if the democracy we have now is what our founders intended. And
I'm glad it's not what they intended, because I
agree, but go ahead.
What they intended,
we would not be voting here. Yeah, and you know, between the two of us, we would constitute one and one-fifth human being.
Means, right?
Yeah. So no, we wouldn't be voting, and I wouldn't be voting because I'm a woman.
Right, so.
So, you know, I guess I'd have to cede my all of my beinghood to you so you could cast a vote, and then you ain't a landowner.
No, I'm not a landowner. I'd be working the land.
Yeah, but you're educated now.
Well,
were you allowed to read?
I wasn't allowed to read. So, you know. So that's why, you know, whether it's our present governmental system, especially, or how you defined it. Thank you for that clarification.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the popular phrase, saying
that is the popular
phrase.
It's a threat
to democracy. So what is this democracy? So,
well, I don't want to go down that line.
No,
we got 45 minutes.
No, as you suggested, mm-hmm. you know, what is a threat to the establishment or government? What is happening, and how do we respond to it?
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to point out is it's not simply Trump. Okay, we need to really look at that. And it's not simply MAGA Republicans. You know, it may have some trickle down or tentacles, you know, affecting it, but those are not the singular threats. There is a perceived threat coming from the Supreme Court of the United States, SCOTUS, because of the judges that had been installed. You know, there's arguments as to whether Clarence is going to recuse himself or not, and, you know, I don't know why anybody think Uncle Thomas is going to, you know, do the right thing. Let me just stop right there. But, you know, there's other things that have been happening. We've had just gargantuan effort at voter suppression. You know, we've had a gargantuan effort at removal of polling sites and polling times being changed and polling officials being challenged. You know, and then to get back to the spirit of what you were saying earlier about, well, we don't want to have the same quote unquote democracy that we initially had in this country. You know, the thought is, well, what should we be looking for? What is the flip side mm-hmm. to that? You know, what kind of government should we be looking for? Because, you know, we've got people fomenting civil war. Okay, well, what's going to be the outcome of that? If you know, should democracy be threatened?
And the definition of
a threat
of a threat and civil war and and it is correct, as you stated, that it isn't just an individual. It certainly is a movement and an ideology, a way of viewing the world, so that even as you hear the Republicans, the other candidates on the Republican field, except for one candidate, you don't hear any attack or response to the ideology or the, I don't even want to say ideology because it's more than an ideology, this cult attraction to this movement. You don't hear other Republicans speaking against it. So where are the individuals with courage to stand up? And as except for those who have been tossed aside, former House Republicans such as Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
You don't see anyone standing up, and in fact, are we faced with this movement? And you know, you mentioned the Supreme Court. You know, they will make a decision very well soon.
Pretty soon, yeah.
Pretty soon. And, you know, I wonder, unless it's a 9-0 decision, things could be really ugly.
Well, even if it's not a 9-0, you know, whatever decision they make is going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. You know, because you've got Trump fomenting civil war. And
we won't ask the former governor of South Carolina which he think is the cause of the first American Civil War. You know, as we mentioned, we began earlier about way back when, who would be allowed the original intent.
Well, it wasn't slavery. Oh, my gosh. Why do people think slavery was the cause of the Civil War? Learned that in school.
Government overreach. Okay.
Well, yeah, that was now. Hey, hold on now. Government overreach. States were upset. They had states' rights.
That's why I said, you know, the rights of the individual, the rights of government. And I'm saying, you know, my folks were right there on the field, and they wanted the government to come in.
Wanted some government. They wanted somebody. We wanted somebody. Hey, we didn't know if it was the government. It just seemed like that was the likely suspect.
Hey, just show us the way to freedom. That's all I'm asking.
Come on. That's straight up. Well, I'm going to tell you one way to freedom, and that is by supporting your community radio station. Non-corporate, commercial-free, community-based programming. Yes. And I want to send a hearty thanks out to everyone who has supported KBOO. But, you know, from my point of view, until we get at least, we don't have to stop there, but we get at least 5,500 members, and we're climbing toward there, you know, we're not manifesting the footprint we should have. We should be bigger. You know, and it's by your help that we can do that. And it's not just financial help. It's also by coming and getting involved. Many hands make light the work. Many hands make broad the coverage, you know, and deep.
Indeed.
Yeah. So the phone number, though, to participate in this aspect of community-based broadcasting is 503-231-8187. And we're talking about threats to our governance system. You know, Cecil was more specific, and he said democracy. I'm being a little vague because, you know, like I said, is a threat to democracy in some aspect a bad thing necessarily? It could be a good thing, you know.
So let us hear your thoughts, 503-231-8187. And, however you want to define it, whether it's a threat to government, which you know, suggest it might be a good thing or a threat to democracy. And what this reveals, I think, is a need to come up with some common understanding of or definition so that real conversations can take place. So, for example, when you're hearing the presumptive Republican nominee attack the presumptive Democratic nominee as a threat to democracy, and that candidate says that the other one is a threat to democracy, and I'm using that word because that's the word they use, Celeste. What does that mean? How are you wrestling with a political environment, whether it is local, whether it is statewide, or what is national, and certainly this is extended to the international scene. Give us a call in terms of what are threats to government, democracy, or however you wish to define it, and let us hear some of your thoughts on how do we, well, where are we and where do we go from here? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic?
Is it even on your wavelength? And we want to encourage new people to call in too, because we know there's some folks out there. We run into you from time to time in public, you know, and you say, hey, you listen to the show, never call. Call 503-231-8187.
And let's get to our first caller this morning.
Good morning, Artie.
Hi, Celeste. Hi, Cecil. You want to hear a definition of a democracy?
Sure.
Okay. I've got a definition of the opposite of democracy and then what democracy isn't. Okay. So democracy is first of all the will of the majority. Mm-hmm. That's the sense that you're serving most people rather than just a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty simple definition. So it's the majority, that means of the spectrum from left to right, most people are in the middle, and there's no moderates in the Republican leadership, but there are moderates that should be considered a part of the majority. To serve the majority, you've got to serve that segment of conservative thought where they're not radical extremists. So that's what democracy is not 50% plus one winner take all.
Mm.
Like one party is the majority. No, they're not. But and when you elect someone, a representative has to represent both sides or as many people as possible. And so the opposite of democracy is where governments are controlled by powerful business interests, a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a political active here in Portland for a long time, mainly in transportation planning and energy. And the constituents who are being served most in Portland now by our agencies, including Metro, City Council, County, are the Portland Business Alliance and the Portland Prosperity for the Already Prosperous Development Commission. Those two organizations, private organizations, have control over city council. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who don't have to appear before councils and give opinions. They just give you a call, ask, tell them what they want. And why is Portland going downhill? Because we have a government who answers to a minority of the very most powerful people in the region.
Hey, this is excellent, and thank you for stating these things. We have a number of callers online, but I appreciate your explanation and for allowing us to dig deeper.
Yes, thank you for your call.
All right, thank you.
Good morning. And we're talking about democracy, what it is,
and the threats to it
and
that
threats
we perceive.
To it.
Yes, and if that's a bad thing, let's go to Edie.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I think that if the two current major parties and their candidates were perceived as an actual threat to the governance from those, the political, economic, cultural power, they would not be allowed to be the candidates or the parties or to be elected or selected or preside. I think they're considered equally subservient to those power structures that want to surveil, police, and imprison us, impoverish us, make us homeless, scared, scapegoating other people, paying more and more money for junk, working longer and longer hours for less pay, and destroying our environment and our civic soul. And I think what we really need to do is stand up for the life, health, safety of our climate, our environment, and self-governance of people around the world. That when the majority of Portlanders want police accountability and alternatives to policing, that would happen if it were a democracy. That we would have local, sustainable, organic food. We would grow hemp and bamboo for our own face masks and health care. We would have health care for all. We would not be giving all this money to Home Forward and developers without holding them accountable to safety and environmental standards while they keep pushing their house people out onto the streets to justify getting more money. I mean, we would, if we really cared about the will of the people, everyone 18 and over would be allowed to vote. You wouldn't have military until you're 24.
Okay.
You might be able to have a brain.
I think we can
do those things now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. We got a bunch of callers behind you, so we're glad you were able to get your points out and share them and perhaps, you know, influence the conversation moving forward. Thank you, Edie.
Thank you, Edie. And I appreciate one thing I'm taking back from your phrase you used, destroying our civic soul.
Yeah.
I like that, civic soul. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM, with Sidless, and I am Cecil. Let's go to our next caller, Cody.
Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste. The Great Experiment called
yes.
The United States of America.
Yes.
Okay? I really encourage people to hit the books, even older people, because we're really operating in the level, the sphere of ignorance, that of the level of 5-year-olds. And I give you a good example. It's democracy that's basically responsible for lynching a lot of innocent black people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, people, oh, well, how can you say that's democracy? Well,
it was the will of the people.
a good example, the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know about Benjamin Franklin, right?
Yeah.
And we know what Benjamin Franklin said about democracy.
Well, say it.
Mob rule.
Okay.
We live in a republic.
Mm-hmm.
And when we understand this, maybe things will get a little better. If this government goes down, there's only one group of people to blame. Me, you, and every person out there. It's our fault. We have to look in the mirror and say, if this country fails, it's because of me not getting involved with my republic. Okay? A lot of people really don't appreciate the monarchies that are still in existence to this day, and how it's probably the very existence of the United States that keeps these monarchies in check. Now, at some point, I believe, I'm pretty sure Cecil understands this. He seems to be an avid reader. The War of 1812, right? That was the second time His Majesty England tried to bring the United States back into its fold, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes us think they haven't given up? The point I'm trying to make is that when people allow social hierarchies, constructs of these social hierarchies, and this is something all these primatologists will tell you about apes. They got to have a hierarchy. Apes don't run a republic. That's something that looks like a democracy. So here you have this hierarchy. And at the top of that hierarchy, you're going to have the top male baboon, and you're going to have the top female baboon. Let's call them the king and the queen. Okay? Now, when we understand human nature and social hierarchies, we're going to have to accept, are we ready to go into a higher level of government, or are we ready to go back to the age-old monarchies and deal with the disadvantage of dealing with these monarchies?
Well, you know, to kind of speak to your point, two things. One is, are we able to go to, you know, do we have the will to go to a higher level of government? But then when you look at what's being advocated by Trump and his minions, the ideal is that it's a quasi, it's, Lord, I don't know whether I call it a monarchy or, you know, a dystopian fascist rule. And I don't know if there's a one word phrase to describe that. Chaos. Yes, there is. There is a word. It's called chaos.
Let's call it WWF uniparty politics. Okay.
See, WTF uniform.
I hear these people on both sides. I hear people, the liberals, the conservative, and I'm mm-hmm. going, you guys are falling for the WWE. Because as a kid, I was always frustrated. Why is it that the new guys never upset the old guys? You know,
they got to work their way up the ladder, you know.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is not like boxing, where you think people can get up. And even boxing is fixed a little bit.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is that we're going to have to pull ourselves from this polaristic thinking and understand that we are living in the future when it comes up to being at that top level of government. And it's a test to human nature as to whether or not we can maintain this higher level of government. Because if we can't, we're going to have to go back to monarchy. And I can tell you, monarchies are only good as that king within that time period. We don't want to talk about King John and what he was doing back during the Magna Carta.
Well,
and the stuff that he was doing to everybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was abusing people so bad, even England had to create the Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm.
And our Constitution is
it's a reflection of that, yep.
We need more education for the adults.
Well, we need more adults to really accept the fact that they need ongoing education.
I wish I knew this as a kid. Excuse me, what you say?
No. I was going to add, as you began, during the convention in 1787, when people were considering government in Philadelphia, in September, a woman came up, as you reminded us, came up to Benjamin Franklin and said, "Well, Dr. Franklin, what have we got?" And Elizabeth Willing Powell asked, "Do we have a republic or a monarchy?" And Benjamin Franklin looked at her and said, "A republic if you can keep it."
Exactly. And that's what I loved about the man. He challenged, he understood human nature. He was one of these people who said, people get the government they deserve. So when I hear these people when people complaining about their government, local, state, and federal,
mm-hmm.
it's like, I'm not taking any sides in that. Oh, this is happening, this is that. That Constitution says, of the people, for the people, by the people. I'm pretty sure you guys I know you guys are aware of who the Five Eyes are. You got Great Britain, United States, Europe, Australia, what's the other one that's past Australia? New Zealand and the United States, right? Those are part of the Five Eyes, right?
Or I think. Okay, what are the Five Eyes? Because I haven't heard that phrase.
Well, these are the Five Eyes. Look up the Five Eyes. And out of these Five Eyes, one of those Five Eyes is the thumb, and that's the United States of America. We're the only oddball out of the Five Eyes that's not indirectly connected or controlled by a monarchy. As far as I know, we may have been taken over already, and I'm not aware of it. I'm not that clever.
Okay. I want to thank you for that. And when you said Five Eyes, and, you know, the first thing that popped in my mind is he talking about individuals. And then the first thing I thought of when it came to democracy, individualism, and whatever is Alexis de Tocqueville.
The five intelligence agencies.
Oh, okay.
So it's Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, and the United States.
Okay, I was about to say Canada because that threw me off. Okay, gotcha.
And out of all of those, the only one that really sticks out that maybe the other four eyes don't feel comfortable with is the United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the best way to get the United States under control, and what do all these other four eyes have in common? Monarchy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Monarchy. King Charles is the head of all of them.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
Exactly.
All extensions of British Empire overreach. But yeah. Thank you, Cody. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Speaking of empire overreach,
mm-hmm.
Yesterday I happened to watch a little bit on IG Live a speech by Cornel West,
mm-hmm.
who gave a really great reflection on empire,
mm-hmm.
and reminded us in terms of looking over the history of how empires develop and how they fall. And he gave, you know, very good reflection that the American Empire, even as the British Empire before it, or go back to the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, they all rise and they all fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this empire will fall. And what do we want to make of it in the future? What happens next? And that's something we need to wrestle with.
Well, that's one of the things Cody, I think, was bringing forward as a point. You know, if we want to bring something forward, we have to be educated, informed, and intentional about it, and to force ourselves to rise to the better choice. Yeah. Well, the better choice is your community connection, KBOO Portland. Come join in the conversation on More Talk Radio with Cecil, myself, Celeste. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. And we're going to our next caller. Good morning. I think we have Santiago on the air.
Good morning. You know, I think it's really funny, like democracy, it depends on who you're talking to about, because when politicians generally refer to democracy, they're talking about freedom. But when they talk about freedom, they have the rich people have a different conception of freedom than poor people. Poor
Yep.
people like us, our conception of freedom is the idea that we get to, that, you know, it's basically all power to the people. That's our idea of freedom, all power to the people. But the conception of rich people's freedom is the freedom to exploitation. And you see that across the board, because in the ways that even among other capitalist countries, we are the most put upon. You know, like people refer to Denmark and all those places as social democracies, but they're just capitalism with a better safety net. But even mm-hmm. then, like, it's still not democracy for, it might be democracy for the imperial core, but it's still exploitation for the third world. So, I mean, you know, like, more to, like, Cody's point, I always hate that people are like, oh, it's a republic. It's like, it doesn't matter if poor people are still exploited.
True.
And that's the whole point, because we can talk about definitions all day long. That's idealism. Materialism is what's going on around you.
Uh-huh.
That idealism will only take you so far. Before you have to really, and that's the whole point, is it's a thought terminating cliche that keeps you from questioning the world around you.
Well,
which
and
is
that's
what a lot of these cats don't want.
Well, that's one of the reasons why, you know, when he's saying, yeah, well, let me reference some points that Cody made about, you know, we get the governance system we deserve, and then people's reluctance to have ongoing system of self-education. you know, and recognizing some of the drivers that both you and Cody, well, actually all our callers pointed out. And, you know, and I hate to fall back on this because we don't have enough time to really unpack it, but that goes to some measure to the whole idea that Alexis de Tocqueville had about individualism and the desire to work toward mutual purpose. Because if it was mutual purpose, like you said, poor people wouldn't have different ideas of what freedom really was.
Well, and that's the whole point, is that, you know, people don't realize that morality is subjective. You know, of course there are things that a lot of us, you know, especially being under British colonialism, see as a general idea of what we consider right and wrong, but we've never considered that morality has involved. You know, these cats like to anthropomorphize animals to the point of being silly, but even animals have morality systems. They call it proto-morality among our primate cousins. You know, it's not the exact same thing that we have, but they understand the difference between right and wrong. They'll punish people who sound the predator alarm in order to feed quicker. They'll kick people out of their group if they're not. But the whole point is that even animals have a sense of morality.
Well, they don't even have to be primates, though. I mean, the animals,
well, know,
you know,
but, I mean,
yeah, I agree
just,
with
I'm
you.
I'm just using primates because they're cousins. But,
yeah.
And I know more about that than anything else. But the whole point.
I don't know. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Santiago. Never say, at least to an African-American person, American black person, that we are cousins to primates. We have an issue with that. It is a cultural.
Oh, no, I'm saying,
you can't say that.
Oh, no, I get that. I'm just saying the whole human race.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I
got
you. The whole point is that like we shape reality, and these politicians who tell you who feed you the same type of stuff that Cody was saying, essentially will tell you, well, you know, don't worry about getting a degree in philosophy because that's pointless. Go get a welding degree. But the thing is, the only thing that holds this together is philosophy.
Well,
philosophies are what get poor people voting against their own interests. How
well,
you got poor people who are more interested in the genitals of their neighbors than the intent of their politicians.
Well, and that takes us right back to what I was saying at the very beginning with that movie, Don't Look Up. Be careful what your politicians are telling you, and have a little motivation to read outside of your thought bubble. Yeah.
Well, and just one more thing to point out, and then I'll call
real
it.
Real briefly, uh-huh.
The reason why we're working three, most of us are working three jobs just to be able to afford a place to store our shit, is because of the fact that they want us so busy that we don't have time to self-educate, to self-care, to even be a part of the communities that we're supposed to be living in.
I'm not even going to argue with you. I firmly believe that too. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I mean, we can't self-educate if we can't even get a chance to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us, to people who have platforms, who speak on this, to be able to be the voice. And even if it's not a perfect education, get people moving in a way of mutual aid and just like
mutual aid and
compassion.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
we ended on the same word. That's perfect.
Hey Santiago, yep. I have a question for you before we let you go. And you just, I appreciate you uplifting those of us with degrees in philosophy. It isn't wasting time. Hey, thank you so much for calling and for your insights.
This is More Talk Radio. Oh, sorry, Cody. Yeah, this is More Talk Radio, and we're on your community connection, KBOO Portland. Let's go to Francis next.
Hi.
Good morning.
First of all, Happy New Year.
Yes.
Your discussion of freedom made me think of my grandmother who came from Ireland at the turn of the century, and my brother asked her. She was very involved in politics. She was here to greet the president of Ireland when he came to Portland. But he asked her, what did freedom mean to her? Mm-hmm. You know, because they were under British rule for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him basically just to be able to think what she wanted to think.
Yep.
And that's interesting to me. And I think that, you know, we use the word experiment to describe this country when usually when we're reviewing some terrible injustices that have occurred in this free country. And I think that the Constitution actually is kind of a wonderful, wonderful piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a reason why anybody that goes into public office has to take an oath to uphold that Constitution. And I think that if this case gets to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is what they say they are, textualists, true constitutionalists, there's no way in the world that they're not going to agree that someone has violated their oath many, many, many times, and is continually giving aid and comfort to insurrectionists, and is disqualified. And if you read the last sentence of the, the clause 3, it says the only way that that disqualification can be remedied is by a two-thirds majority vote of both houses of Congress. That is not discussed ever in the media. It isn't that they take his ability or his qualifications away, it's that they restore it. And there is no way that two-thirds majority of the Congress is going to restore any kind of qualifications to that man.
Mm. Well, see, what I think you hit on a very important point, and there's two things I want to kind of lift out of that, uplift. One is that if the court does decide in Trump's favor, they will have to do some fancy footwork. That will be some gymnastics, know, and maneuvering like we've never seen before. I don't put it past them, though. But the other problem is the media is not lifting up that point either, which goes to something that all of you have indicated in one way or another, and that is the dumbing down of our American a population. You know, they're not mentioning that.
Mm-hmm. Profit is right now is in conflict, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
In every way, the short-term profits are promoting conflict, perpetrating conflict, participating in conflict, selling the war machines. It's all, and that paradigm can be shifted, that can be changed. But I'm waiting to see. I'm hopeful.
I'm not holding my breath, girl. I'm buying me some rice and beans and water and waiting.
I know, but I'm hopeful that those people who say they're constitutionalists and who read that clause, there's no way that they can, he's disqualified himself, and he continues to do it on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know what we need to do? Here's a call to action. And you know, I'm both encouraging you, Francis, and everyone listening. Call your electeds or call, you know, and connect with SCOTUS any way you can and let them know that. This needs to be said, because if they think we're dumb and we're not going to pay attention, they're going to do what we just talked about, which is pull the wool over our eyes.
I think that Judge, what's his name, Kavanaugh, should be truly offended that that lawyer for Trump said that he owes Trump.
Well, you know,
he tried to be like a mafia boss.
Well, back when Trump was first running, one of the things I said, and we can find it probably on our website, is I said, look, the whole purpose Trump is running is to demean the office of the President of the United States, and he has done so with an incredible.
He's not back there yet, and we'll see what happens.
But he's demeaned it regardless, because for a lawyer to say that a Supreme Court judge, a sitting judge, owes a racketeering orange mob boss is just beyond the pale. And people accepted that. Nobody seemed to be adequately outraged.
I was just like, who's saying? What did you just say?
I know.
What did you just say, lady?
that just blows my mind. And nobody, well, I won't say nobody, but too few of us were sufficiently outraged when he said that. It's like, oh, no, you're trying to impugn the highest court in our country by somebody who wants to run it.
It's crazy.
All right. Well, thanks for your call.
You guys take care.
You okay. too.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO.FM with Celeste and Cecil. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187.
Good morning, Doug. You're on. Hello, Doug.
Okay, get away from you. Turn down your radio, Doug, and speak on the phone.
You're trying to accuse the highest court.
Okay. Okay, sorry, Doug, you had to call back because I think you might have had a distraction there. Well, distraction, that is the word, isn't it?
So, you know, and, you know, maybe he was busy and stuff like that. But this discussion has been helpful for me in terms of discerning how we even speak of politics and how we speak of what it is we want to do and see in terms of our government, our structure, and where we go from here. I think we have Doug back.
We have Mark. Well, good morning, Mark. You're on the air.
Thanks very much. I just want to make a comment that I think reveals the system, the systemic structural problems we face. According to a note that I read yesterday, Elon Musk finished paying his Social Security tax 4 minutes after midnight on January 1st. You know, you only have to pay tax on the first $168,000. Well, for Elon Musk, that happened 4 minutes after midnight. This is a terrible inequity, you know. Everyone should be contributing to Social Security. It's a great achievement. It keeps millions of people alive, and it is indistinguishable from democracy and from the health of the people. We live in an elite democracy, and people are being manipulated. I recommend a website, thriftbooks.com. They have 13 million books, and they really sell them for peanuts, but mostly $4 or $5. I'm reading a book entitled Biblical Literalism by John Shelby Spong. A magnificent book, you know, and it speaks about how literalism is a Gentile heresy. It's very important for us to free our so that we don't see and accept everything as literal and become authoritarians.
Important point. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for pointing those facts out and referring to Bishop Spong's book.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, all of you who have called and shared. And you know, sometimes when I hear some of the callers this morning, I said, well, maybe I shouldn't give up hope yet.
Yes, that is true. That is true. You know, I'm trying to do a quick search here to make sure I'm giving the right website. I came across a website. It's called Citizen Portal. And I want to make sure I get the right one. And it allows people to search every word spoken by your elected leaders. Okay. And let's see. I think it's, citizenportal, one word, dot AI. Anyway, yeah, that's what I say when I look at it. It's your AI partner for transparent government. Is that not a mouthful, you know? But anyway, I want to put that out along with what Mark said about thriftbooks.com. It's just ways to keep track of what's going on. Let's see how much time we have. We got a couple of minutes. Yeah. Okay. Good morning, Doug. You're back.
Good morning. What I'd like to say is I think we have to get back to basics. We have to get back to who really rules this country, and it's the rich.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. Yep.
Right, right. And everybody's saying that. But the way that we can get past that is eliminating the stock market, for one, is a big thing. The stock market controls who gets the money and who doesn't. I mean, if you have the most money, you can control the stock market.
Well, I want to push back on that and say, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily going to change anything, because if we're looking at the rich running things, how are we as individuals going to get rid of one of their key instruments of governance, if you will? And then I also want to say, I'm not so sure it's the stock market. I would look at banks as one of the key players to, you know, who's ruling what, because those that control the money, you know what they say, he who has the gold rules.
Right, but if we continue to let the stock market dictate who gets the money, then we have a few rich people that control the country.
Well, how do we as individuals, poor people, how do we overthrow the stock market? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but, you know, I figure you got a little bit of a plan. Share it with us.
Well, I don't think it's an easy plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably what we need to do is go back to taxes. You know, because they don't pay taxes, and they figure out ways around the taxes, and that's how the banks rule the country. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But until we get back to that, we're going to have these rich people controlling our lives. And they don't just control it with their money, but they control the people in the place and what they say.
Okay.
So
I got no argument against that. I hear you, and I agree with a good part of that. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people saying a lot of good things, but really, until we get back to where there aren't 1% or even 10% of the people having all the money, you know, we're not going to have a chance to even implement any of the things that we talk about.
Great points.
Okay. Good points. Well, thank you for your call. Thank you for calling back, too.
Thank you for having this program. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Doug.
And you know what I want to say? It's not us, me. Well, I said it grammatically. I felt my English teacher thunk me on the back of my head. It is not Cecil and I. It is not we who have this program. It is you, the community, because you're supporting non-commercial, non-corporate, community-based radio when you support KBOO. And we encourage you to have multifaceted support, not just financially, which is important. Now, I'm not downplaying that at all, but to tell your friends about it, to tell your family about it, to call into the shows, to support programs by listening to them, and maybe even coming down here and volunteering some way. You don't have to be on there. There's lots of things you can do. We need all kinds of help. And it's by having this strong community basis and creating this mitigating institution that we keep sharing information and intelligence and informed will to govern.
Very good.
Oh, damn. I sounded smart for a moment.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. I'm done for the day, man.
Hey,
I'm glad it's Monday.
You glad it's Monday? Hey, you know, I have one. Thank you all for this fascinating conversation.
Yes.
It's been really good and informative. And
lots of callers, too. Thank you.
A lot of callers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Varied voices. One thing I have is ask, and this is a bit off topic, but I think most of us, like when we aren't able to go to work,
mm-hmm.
Or we're in a hospital, we usually call our employer to let them know we're not going to be at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that doesn't work with the Secretary of Defense.
You know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. And you know what I have decided? I've decided that that is a distraction, and I'm not going to focus on it.
Okay.
Because, you know, you raise a good point. But here's the thing. We don't even know. Maybe the call was made.
And the president didn't pick up the phone?
That's why I said this is a distraction.
It's trying to
engage my gray cells when I'm trying to get educated. I want to be edumacated, you know, because, well, as a woman of mixed colored people, you know, ancestry, we wasn't allowed to do that. I'm going to be exercising that.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of exercising rights, we will not be here for the MLK Day, but we still want you, as we will be, to take care of the community, get out, make this a day on, and take care of the beloved community. We want to thank everybody who called in, our KBOO supporters, our engineer Ray Bodwell. We'll hear you the week after MLK Day. Get out there and make our community strong.
Hi, I'm Jill Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism, social issues, and food and nutrition. We also learn about specific animals such as possums and rabbits, including their needs and ways to help them. Be sure to tune in to That Vegan Show on the fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m. right here on KBOO Portland.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre, a place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition.